Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, March 17th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 44, the third paragraph that begins with, "But it isn't so difficult," and we'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Dory P., who will be reading the 12 Steps, Judy S., who will be reading the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Wendy P.B., Deb E., and Dion R. The share ID for Tuesday, March 16th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 16,588. That's 16588. This morning's Wednesday, March 17th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting share ID is 15,592. That's 15592. Our newcomer greeter for today is Kaylee R., and Leslie M. will be making our announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Dory P. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Dory.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you. Dory P. from Georgia, recovered for today. Here are the steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Dory P. And Judy S., if you'd read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Good morning. I'm Judy S., a recovered compulsive overeater, and here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
And thank you, Judy S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 44, the third paragraph that begins with, "But it isn't so difficult." We're reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. And good morning, Wendy PB. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, perfect. But it isn't so difficult. About half our original fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. Perhaps it is going to be that way with you. But cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. Good morning, everyone. I am Wendy PB, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater with a catch in my throat. Apologize. You know, I always believed in God. I'm not an agnostic, but I might as well have been because of the way I ran the show. You know, I thought I knew best for what was working in my life. I thought I could make all the decisions. I thought that I could get other people to bend to my will. I thought that I had all my answers. And, you know, when I did reach out to my higher power for help, it was sometimes, often, I should say, an afterthought, you know. When things weren't working out my way, it was sort of, oh, yeah, right. God, can you help me out here? And then I was right off doing the same thing. And this paragraph contains a warning for me. After a while, I had to face the fact that I must find a spiritual basis of life or else. And if anything told me that I wasn't living on a spiritual basis, it was the fact that I couldn't control my eating, that my life devolved into a series of trips back and forth from the refrigerator all day long. And when I wasn't eating, I was thinking about what I was going to eat. And when I was eating, I was thinking about how I could get more of it. And there was, you know, I learned in this program, there's three meals a day and life in between. There was no life in between for me. And that's what my best thinking got me to. You know, that's what not living on a spiritual basis of life got me to. And so this paragraph is it's a promise and it's a hope. It says here, cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. So I need not be disconcerted. There is a path. There's a way. There's a way out. And this book is a roadmap. It's a set of directions to show me what that way is. For that, I am extremely grateful. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Wendy PB, for getting us started this morning. Okay, so although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this third paragraph on page 44 who hasn't shared in the last 3 days? Melanie C.
Heather
Melanie
W.
C. Heather W.
Elaine B.
Elaine B.
Deb E.
Suzanne D.
Deb E. And who came in after Deb?
Suzanne D.
Suzanne D.
Shawnee B.
Was that Shawnee B?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, let's stop right there. Great. So I think it was Melanie C. I heard. Heather W., Elaine B., Deb E., Suzanne D., and Shawnee B. So go ahead, please, Melanie. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. It was very difficult for me. They're saying it isn't, but it was very difficult for me. I was in the rooms of OA for 17 years and did not get entire abstinence for 17 years. I didn't understand this particular concept. But even within the rooms of OA, I got to a place where the disease had just beaten me down so much. And the question then becomes on line 4 and 5 for me, have I faced the fact that I must find a spiritual way of life or else? I had been doomed. I knew that I was doomed. I tried to convince outside practices to perhaps commit me to a place that I never had to be responsible for myself again for the rest of my life because I had no other idea. And yet, when I was faced with this idea to align with a higher power, I would resist it. I couldn't even put those two together. And that explains so clearly the mental illness that runs me within the way that I process in my mind. So the word must here, I must find a spiritual basis if I'm going to take another breath into myself at all. And the other thing that I heard somebody say yesterday I thought was really, really helpful to me, because I also struggled with coming into these rooms, having had some previous practices of some outside religious things that I thought was going to get me through. I decided that I was going to just be agnostic. And you know what? When that didn't hit that spot well enough to be so angry at God in the rooms, ladies and gentlemen, I decided I was going to be an atheist within the rooms, a recovered person, entirely abstinent. But when somebody explained it this way yesterday, I thought that was what it was. I was still moving through the character defects, getting familiar with this disease a little bit better. And what in fact I was, and I'm not an agnostic or atheist at all. I'm an angry addict. I'm an angry addict and I must find God. And so there's where the concerted effort goes to after being abstinent and sober for a while and just coming into these rooms. This is a spiritual methodology by which to arrest this disease of addiction, and it works. I'm not a young woman. I am not a young woman, and it broke through and cracked through that hardened heart of mine to give me a life that is happy, joyous, and free, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Melanie C. Heather W., you are up, followed by Elaine B. Good morning, Heather.
Oh, hey, good morning, y'all. This is Heather W., recovered here in Baltimore. Super grateful to be on the line. I don't get to call in much during the school year, but I have a day off today, so I'm so grateful to call in. And this paragraph is so powerful. I mean, the whole chapter, right? You know, and I came into this program very young, 21 years old. I'm 30 now. I came in, I had no idea, you know, about God. I have such a strong faith now, you know, I do identify as a Christian, and that's my faith, you know, but it's only because of this program that I was able to find a God that I understand, you know, and you can find your own faith. And what's beautiful is I can work with people of, you know, the same faith, completely different, no faith, and it still works as long as you are just willing to believe. You know, willing to start to believe. That's what this chapter will tell us. And what held me up for so long is, you know, it says, at first some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. I mean, that was me for my first 6 years in program, hoping against hope. Even when I started working with a recovered sponsor, I remember, you know, doing an assignment. Am I the hard drinker? You know, or am I the real alcoholic? So bad I wanted to be the hard drinker. And I kept thinking, well, there's been these times, you know, maybe 3% of the times where I have just had one, where I've been able to just have one. So maybe I'm not. And then I realized my disease, cunning, baffling, powerful. My disease understands that it is more effective, that it can keep me in bondage more successfully if there's this small amount of time where maybe I do feel like I have control, because then I can keep looking back on those times and thinking, well, maybe it'll be like that time 2 years ago again, you know, when I was only able to eat one. Because if every time, you know, it was just out of control, right, it would have been much more obvious. So once I realized that, it was so helpful, you know. And again, that's really our first step, right? I had to understand I am not true alcoholic with food. I have to admit that, you know, step one, right? And then step two, I have to understand that no human power, that it has to come from a higher power. And for me, that higher power today is God. And I'm so grateful for that, for this program, and all of y'all. So thank you all for letting me share.
Thank you, Heather W. Good morning, Elaine. You are up, followed by Deb E.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. Wow. Okay. So about half our original fellowship were of exactly that type. What type? Doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis? Atheist or agnostic? I wasn't an atheist. I had a powerful relationship with God. I had an amazing relationship with God. I had some amazing experiences with God, totally releasing me from cigarettes and drugs and alcohol and a relationship with others that was not too healthy for me. And so, but the food. And, you know, I needed something sweet in my mouth all the time. I feel so bad for people I was with, a Jolly Rancher candy clicking around in my mouth. I had to have that constant drip intravenous. I couldn't survive without it. What I didn't have was a spiritual basis of life. What I didn't have was a design for living. I got engaged and came into OA and you know, was, instead of wearing a size 28 wedding gown, I was able to get down to a size, I think it was 18, and continued to lose weight in the rooms of the OA. I got sane. I got help. I got to a right size body and was able to sustain that. I found the steps. And I tried to work them, but the way I was doing it was really slow. 6 years on the resentment inventory with three different sponsors. One made me throw it all away and start over again. Oh, my gosh. And then I thought, oh, I have it now. I have a spiritual basis. I have a right-sized body. And I'm going to go off with my happy, wonderful relationship with God. But he had something else in store. He wanted me to know that I was agnostic, that my faith in God and my need for a design for living was well worth an awful, awful relapse that was so bad that my husband wrote me a letter and said, you've taken on a new lover and it's food. Divorce is not an option, but we'll live separately in this house. Oh my gosh, I didn't even understand it. My brain was so fogged. So then, so gratefully, when I got to the point of real desperation, a friend of mine, I was doing 90 meetings in 90 days, and on day 45, somebody gave me the number for a vision for you. And I found a new way to work through the steps. There's many ways to work through the steps. People work through the steps several ways on right in this meeting. But I found
away. I found a design for living that really works. I found a spiritual basis of life that I, if and when I practice it every single day, I get not only sanity around food, but around my relationships and around everything else. And I've heard it say, one day without God, God knows it. 2 days without God, you know it. 3 days without God, everybody knows it. Now I know how to access them. And I'll pass with that. Thanks.
Thank you, Elaine B. Okay, good morning, Debbie. You're up, followed by Suzanne D. Go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And the first sentence, but it isn't so difficult. It didn't feel difficult for me to believe in higher power, but what felt really strange and kind of impossible was to believe that my higher power would be interested in my food problem and helping me with my food problem. I really didn't think I could ask for help with that. I didn't think that it was worthy enough or I was worthy enough to kind of request, you know, ask for that. And hoping against hope, we were not true alcoholics. I really did not like identifying as a compulsive overeater. When I came into OA, I didn't want to call myself a compulsive overeater. I thought it just sounded so bad to me. I thought it sounded a lot more attractive to be an alcoholic or you know, a drug addict. I'm very grateful I don't have those addictions today, but I was so concerned with my self-image and what I thought that looked like, and I really didn't want to be it, you know. And these words "or else" make me think of, you know, when, I don't know what I'm thinking of, if it's like movies, or I feel like in like a lot of children's stories and stuff, there was like this "or else," you know, like watch out, like it's always this "or else," or else, the "or else" is always something really bad. You know, and really is the alternative to the spiritual life that I have is pretty bad, because for me that means going back to the food and living in the addiction and being just like overtaken by all my character defects. So that is like, it's a warning, you know, I must surrender. I must follow this path or else all I have to look forward to is that life that I knew before that, you know, did not lead me to good things. And then in the next sentence, or the next few sentences, where it says, half of us thought, I feel like is a reminder that we're not alone. You know, I'm not the only one. I really thought, I was amazed when I went to my first OA meeting and people like were nodding when I talked about it. I just went on and on about what I do with food. And they understood it was the first time ever that I, you know, spoke to people about my problem with food, and they understood me. And so it's an important reminder that, like, we're not alone. We have each other. And disconcerted means unsettled or confused. And it was a little confusing for me in the beginning. You know, I was not familiar with 12-step programs. I didn't know all this terminology. But that togetherness that, you know, we have, we're surrounded, we have this amazing fellowship, and people just showed me what to do. And if you're new, know that there will be someone to show you, many people. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, Debbie. Suzanne D., you're up, followed by Shawnee B. Good morning, Suzanne.
Hi, I'm Suzanne D., and I am a recovered compulsive eater from San Diego. This paragraph is really important to me because what it really says is the question, have I faced the fact that I must find a spiritual basis of life or else? Many years ago, I was in OA in the 80s, and I felt that I was working a strong program, and I dropped 100 pounds, and you know, I was Miss OA and, you know, the whole bit. And then I relapsed. And it was slow and insidious. And so I ended up leaving OA. And I felt deserted by God. I just felt totally abandoned. And I was so angry at God. And then finally, last spring, I came back to OA, and I quit the idea of a Santa Claus God. I quit the idea of what can you give me, God, because I was like, I would beg and plead to stop the compulsive eating and all that kind of stuff. But what I found is that when I gave up my will and truly turned my life over to God, all of a sudden everything changed. And, you know, I started really digging into this big book with a sponsor. I was in a big book workshop, and it just changed my life, because I'm finding that God really does care about every little morsel of food that goes into my mouth. But most importantly, God is willing to take care of all of my food, and not just my food, but my life. You know that second half of step one where it talks about our life is unmanageable? Well, for some reason, I didn't see that part years ago. But now I do, in my heart of hearts, know that, you know, I'm powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. And it's through God, that I can live one day at a time, remain abstinent now for quite a long time, and just work the steps. And, you know, and now I'm living in 10, 11, and 12. And I wake up in the morning to God, and I go to sleep at night to God and doing a 10th step. And so I am just so grateful that I found the spiritual basis of life and realized that God can do for me what I can't. But I have to give up my will.
Please.
I have to quit running the show. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Suzanne D. And before I take you, Shawnee, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 44, the third paragraph that begins with, "But it isn't so difficult." And I'll be taking some more names after Shawnee. So go ahead, please, Shawnee.
Hi, this is Shawnee B. I'm compulsive overeater. Thanks for allowing me to share. I think that this paragraph really, like, awakened in me after being in the rooms for a few years now. I think in the rooms itself, there is a new, for me, there has been like a new level of self-will and a new level of ego within actually like 10, 11, and 12. And this morning, really what came up for me in my quiet time, in terms of, you know, the gift of abstinence, the words came out of me, and I just asked my higher power, I said, please humble me, like actually begging to be humbled, because I think being in the rooms, living in 10, 11, and 12, being of service, oftentimes the ego can be really insidious, just like the food. And as an addict, my ego will try to get me from any base. And for today, I begged God to keep me humble. And I asked him to truly show me how I can serve in my service of 10, 11, and 12. And I just, I don't know, like it was such a simple prayer, but I then asked God, like, please remind me every day, like 100 times a day, to just ask you to keep me humble. And I just wanted to share that. And it's just a really, it just feels like such a piercing prayer for a newcomer, for those that have been here for a while. Humility, I feel like, is where my relationship with higher power begins, and that's where it grows, and that's what will keep me sane and in this spiritual in a truly spiritual mindset and frame of mind. Thank you for letting me share my path.
Thank you, Shawnee B. Okay, if you have not shared in the last 3 days, we'd love to hear your comments on this paragraph or on page 44, the third paragraph, but it isn't so difficult. And who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Dion R.
Dion R.
Keita from New York.
Was that Keita?
Keita D. Mm-hmm.
Keita D, okay.
Kathleen W. from Illinois.
Kathleen
from
W.
Maryland.
Beverly, what's your initial, Beverly?
Ale.
Say that again.
Ale is in Larry.
L, okay. Anyone else?
Dana P.
Dana P.
Hi, this is Keita D. May I be heard?
Yes, yes, Keita. Hold on 1 second, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I'm going to stop with these five. I have Dion R., Keita D., Kathleen W., Beverly L., and Dana P. So go ahead, please, Dion R.
Hi. Hi, and good morning, all. My name is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater. And as a recovered compulsive overeater, let me first apologize for being a couple minutes late and couldn't unmute when I did get on. So I just want to let you know I'm here for service, but I must apologize and do my part, you know, because this is a spiritual illness. And that's what I'm saying, you know, it's spiritual, not religious, not my former thinking. But if I could lie and I was battling, like, should I not? Should I do it later? No, you ran late. And you couldn't unmute the last 2 or 3 minutes. They didn't hear you, but you're here now. And I need that because I don't want that to eat my lunch later. Or better yet, have a lunch that attacked me. You know, like this paragraph is reminding me that this is a spiritual basis. I must follow this program to the best of my ability. As a human, yes, we fall, we fail. And I heard many shares the last few weeks of falling and getting back on. But because this is a spiritual program and not a human program necessarily, there's only a spiritual recovery and solution is going to solve it. And today, as many said, I was not religious. I fought religious. but after life hit me so hard, I ran from it. But come to find out, no, it wasn't that. I was spiritually sick, and didn't know the remedy. Didn't have the medicine to take for my spiritual illness until God gave me these 12 steps. And today, yes, I'm a true believer. And today I believe in my higher power, who I choose to call God, and I believe in these 12-step rooms because it saved my life. It's the lens. He gave me these glasses so where I can see myself and correct my mistakes and then move on. Just keep moving. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for allowing me to be a part of the solution. And I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Dion R. And Keita D., you are up, followed by Kathleen W. Good morning, Keita.
Good morning, everybody. This is Keita D., recovering compulsive overeater from New York. And I'm so thankful to have started calling in to Vision. I joined on Monday, February 15th, and it's been now 30 days as of yesterday that I've been placed by my higher power in a place of neutrality around flour and sugar, which were my alcoholic foods. And I'm so very happy. I'm so thankful. You know, I had a spiritual experience years ago where I heard the still small voice say, "You find more comfort in ice cream than you do in me." And that really startled me because I was not thinking about food at the time, but it startled me so much that I literally paused everything I was doing and like, oh, God, I don't want that to be true, right? How can that be true? And it just started me on this 12-step journey. I'm really thankful that although some of us have a spiritual white light experience like Bill W. had, we can also have a series of spiritual awakenings like a dimmer switch, right? So instead of the immediate brightness of a spiritual experience, it's that gradual lightening of a dimmer switch. I heard Herb K. say that, and that really resonated with me. And just so thankful to be on the call. Such great shares today, and it just really resonates with me that from that initial sort of experience with God, I definitely had a relapse experience in another program, and it was like, it's all over for me. And then God led me to you all, and I am so thankful I landed in a safe space. And I just want to thank my higher power and the fellowship for hope today. Thank you. This is Keita D from New York, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Keita D. And Kathleen W., good morning. You are up, followed by Beverly L.
Hi, this is Kathleen W. from Illinois. I just wanted to take my seat today and claim it in our fellowship here. I was really struck by these paragraphs this time. You know, I love this whole chapter, but, you know, I didn't feel like I was an agnostic or an atheist. You know, I believed in God for as long as I could remember, and had a relationship with God of a sort where I had experienced tremendous salvation, you might say, from an alcoholic life, you know, alcohol and cigarettes and sex addiction, all kinds of things like that. I have experienced the freedoms of that, but it has taken me 11 years now in OA to really to see myself as a true compulsive overeater. I could not see it. I stayed here. I kept coming back because I knew it was true. I had a problem. But I could not, there was something in my head could not accept the fact that I was truly a compulsive overeater. And it was because, you know, I was a high bottom drunk, and I wasn't completely convinced that it was always that lurking notion, you know, maybe I'm not really that bad. Maybe I'm not really that bad. And that is the thought that has kept me in bondage for the last 10 years. And it wasn't until I came into this fellowship, a vision fellowship, where I began to have an open mind and a new experience regarding this. And I loved what was said, yesterday, and could relate about being agnostic. You know, I thought I was a believer. And if I am a believer and I had all of that deliverance from all of these other things, why couldn't I get free of that obsession from food? Why couldn't I find that neutrality around food? And so what I had to face the fact is that I need a deeper spiritual experience than I've had. And I had to set aside all of my thoughts and philosophies and whatever I thought about God or this disease, about myself. I had to set it aside. And by God's grace, I have been able to set it aside. But it hasn't been easy. It has not been easy for me. It's been difficult. Excuse me. But I have found abstinence. I have found a new way of living. And I'm still seeking that deeper spiritual experience. And will continue to. And I feel like this is a form, this vision meeting is a place where I can be guided into that. So I'm very grateful for this meeting, and thank you all for your shares. And I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathleen W. And good morning, Beverly L. You are up, followed by Dana P. Darwin to unmute, Beverly.
Good morning. My name is Beverly L. from Maryland, and I like this paragraph, especially when it says, I
Beverly, we lost you. Can you press star 1 to unmute?
Okay, I'm back. Can
there
you hear me?
Go ahead. Yes.
Thank you. My name is Beverly L. from Maryland. And I like this paragraph. I'm a compulsive overeater. And it took me a long time to be able to confess that I was a compulsive overeater. But I thank God that now I can say I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, living in 10, 11, and 12. And I like this sentence where it said, at first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope that I was not a true compulsive overeater. But I thank God that I was able to confess that. And I thank him that I'm able to get on here and share this morning. You know, even though I felt the fear in my stomach, I know that God is with me. And when I open up my mouth, he'll give me the words to speak. And I thank him that, but after why I said we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis for life or else. And so I thank God that things in my life have gotten better, my marriage, my finances, my relationships. And I'm grateful for that. Even my work habits at work, being on time and doing what they're paying me to do here at work. So thank you for letting me share and have a great day.
Thank you, Beverly L. And I'm just reminding everyone we're on page 44, the third paragraph. And after Dana, we will have time for a couple more shares. So go ahead, please, Dana.
Good morning, Kathleen, and good morning to my fellows. Always such an honor to participate in this meeting, whether I'm speaking or just on the line. You know, what comes up for me is this whole idea of it's not so difficult. I'm the one that made it difficult, you know, in my disease. God's not the one that made it difficult, nor does he make it difficult. And I was never really been an atheist, but definitely, definitely agnostic in many parts of my life. And what that boiled down to me to is that I didn't have faith. And I had this idea that, you know, and I even told my higher power that, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. And it really isn't that way. It's the faith part is I'll see it when I believe it. And I just got to a point to where at a situation that I've been struggling with for 6 months. And that's the key right there. I was struggling with it. And it came to that point to where I just said, you know what, God? And I didn't believe I could have the things that I wanted or the things that God wanted for me, the beauty and the happy, joyous, and free. And I finally just said, you know what, God, I'm done. I'm done with this. If it's meant to be, you're going to make it happen, and it's going to happen easily, and that's how I'm going to know it's you, God. And literally within the next day, it's happened in 2 days, this thing I've been trying to do for 6 months, and far, far, far better than I could have imagined. I mean, it's amazing, and it's beautiful, and it's even far better. Having to deal with a second house that I just recently purchased on the beach. And when I arrived there, and I purchased it pretty much sight unseen, and it was perfect, is perfect. And my agent, when I got there, she said, it gets even better. And she shared more about it. And all I could think of was God. God, 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 certainly not me. I had nothing to do with this. And so I'm just really grateful, for this program and for the understanding that, you know, God is orchestrating this dance. I do not have to do it. All I have to do is listen, show up, get on my knees, you know, get on my knees, and then do what he tells me, do what he tells me. So, again, I'm honored, and it is such a pleasure and a joy to be part of this program. I am a compulsive overeater, recovered, and I'm in California. So thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Dana P. Okay, we're on page 44, the third paragraph. If you haven't shared in the last 3 days, we'd love to hear you. I can take about two names. Who would like to share?
3HM.
Who, HM?
Sherry.
Sherry. Okay, sorry, Sherry. Okay.
Oh, no problem.
I could take one more. Now is your chance to be a part of
Audrey MP.
Audrey M.P. Okay, let's stop right there. So go ahead, please, Sherry H.M.
Thank you. This is Sherry H.M. from Washington State, recovered 6.5 years. Thank you, God, and you guys, recovered compulsive overeater. I remember years ago I met a friend who was from another program. She told me about her OA experience because, you know, I was just getting frustrated with the $13,000 to $16,000 a year medical bills I had. And that was the beautiful gift of desperation. So I listened to her, and then on the way home, I, you know, figuratively put up my hands and I said, God, I can't do this. I've tried so many times. I just can't. You're going to have to do it for me. And so I found out about Vision for You. Started listening and working the steps, and I really used the phone so much when I was, you know, originally struggling while I was working the steps, you know, didn't do them fast enough. I'm learning now. But then a few years down the pike, real quickly, I had a very traumatic experience, and I was walking to my refrigerator, and God said, you know what, nothing in this refrigerator can fix your problem. You need me more. So anyway, thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you, Sherry H.M. And Audrey P., Audrey M.P., go ahead, please. Good morning.
Kathleen, no, thank you so much. I'm a great host over here. I woke up this morning, like 2 minutes of seven, and when I heard the meeting set up, I thought, oh my God, it's Thursday. And so I blurted in, hello. You know, it's Blur's Day, I guess. But so tomorrow I read. I thought I was late. Isn't that horrible, anxious feeling like I've done it wrong? Because I'm just trying to get it right. You know, I'm just trying to get my food and my program, and I'm trying to get a sponsor, and I'm trying to get it right. I'm looking at the paragraph now, and God, I'm in such surrender. I did 12 steps in Vision with a sponsor here, and I was recovered for 2 days, and then I struggled, you know, to get the food right and the labels on the food right. You know, I'm just pausing because I needed, you know, when I heard, okay, here's the last minute, you know, someone jump in, and I haven't shared this week, and I try and share every week at least once. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life. And I have a higher power. I believe in my higher power. In my step two, my evidence files are so thick, how God has shown up for me. And now I'm in this place, and I need to, you know, the road is getting narrower for me and my food. You know, I have a medical need to lose weight. And I have so much recovery in, I have recovery from bulimia. If there's any bulimics out there that need help, I'm on the list online. I am comfortable. I'm comfortable in my body. My doctor says, you gotta shed a few pounds here. I have pending hip surgery. I need pressure off my bones. But I look in the mirror and I was like, good morning, gorgeous. You know, I love who I am, but cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. I heard earlier someone was angry at their God, and I'm kind of angry at God right now because I don't have the right formula in my program right now, and it's frustrating. And yesterday I went shopping and I looked on the shelves and I sent a text to a fellow, and I'm like, I'm afraid I'm going to pick up. And she wrote back and said, where's that going to get you? And I was like, okay, so for just another day, because of God and all of you, I am abstinent one more day. And I need not be disconcerted because of God and all of you. And I passed. Thank you, Audrey MP in California.
Thank you so much, Audrey MP. And thank you, everyone, for your really amazing shares this morning and everyone doing service to make this meeting happen and to go so smoothly. Thank you so much. So we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Deb E., would you please read a vision for you?
Thank you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.